10 seconds and counting. We still are go at this time. Coming up on 1 minute. Mark, T-minus 60 seconds and counting. We are go for Apollo 7 at this time. T-minus 50 seconds, the vehicle now pressurized, and the vehicle is go, as is the spacecraft at this time. Coming up on the 40-second mark, T-minus 40 seconds and counting. T-minus 40, all reports look good from here in the blockhouse at this time. All aspects of the mission go, T-minus 30 seconds and counting. We'll get ignition of those 8 engines in the first stage at the 3-second mark in the countdown. T-minus 21 seconds and counting, we have completed our power transfer. The Saturn 1B launch vehicle, which now weighs 1.3 million pounds, is ready to go. Coming up on the 10-second mark. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, we have ignition. Commit liftoff, we have liftoff. This is launch control. We have cleared the tower.
Roger, tower clear. 12 seconds out and the roll program has commenced. Four seconds out, and Shirah reports the pitch program has commenced.
12. That was Apollo 7 off Synth.nl's NL's brand new album.
40 seconds.
Apollo. So, how do we have liftoff, Michelle?
Yes. I launched here.
I think you're going into sleep mode soon.
No, I'm still awake.
Well, Dortha sends her regards to you. I thought I'd get in that straight away.
Okay, thank you. No, thanks to Dortha. It's very nice of you, by the way, to dedicate a whole radio show to one of your listeners.
It doesn't happen that often, but she's been a very strong supporter. And with her advice as well, which I take on hand. And the show has taken off, you know, in the last couple of years into, with a global audience, as you know yourself, Michelle. And, you know, it's almost, I think, intergalactical. How about that, Michelle?
That would be cool, but I'll settle for the world for now.
I thought you probably would. Anyway, welcome along to the show again, Michelle. It's great to speak to you again. Now, I'm going to play about 6 tracks off your brand new album, Apollo, obviously dedicated to the Apollo missions, etc., which are sadly are no more at the moment, as far as we're aware. But why did it mean so much to you to do this Apollo?
Well, I was actually born in 1969, so that was the year Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon. And, I always felt very connected to that event all my life, actually, so... Yeah, and I just had to do an album about that someday, and, here it is.
Here it is. Well, I mean, I can remember, obviously, I'm just a couple of years older than good stuff. I can remember watching Apollo 11 taking off, and, and actually watching Neil Armstrong step down from that ladder and landing on the moon. It was something that, I just couldn't believe what I was looking at. And obviously, you were just, you weren't quite aware of it, were you?
No, not really. I've seen everything, of course, but a couple of years later.
Good, yeah. Well, no doubt it was your mother, pressed you up very close to the television, so you knew what was going on.
No, I actually wasn't born yet, so...
Well, that's what I mean. She pushed your tummy, up to the television.
I maybe heard it from
I suppose, they can. Babies can hear what's going on inside the room, so there you go. Anyway, now, I know you've visited NASA, haven't you, and the facilities there, and that must have been quite awesome for you.
Yeah, it was great, and also to go there with the family, because I think I told you before, when I do an album, I try to involve especially my kids as well in the whole theme of the album. Yeah. And, so we watched a lot of documentaries together. We actually built some model rockets together. Taking them to Kennedy Space Center and watching the rockets and the launch sites. It was really all really great. And my oldest daughter actually was very interested, and she recently did a lecture at school about the Apollo missions, and she got an A for that, so I was a very proud parent, of course.
I bet so, you were.
Yeah, but it's nice to involve them and let them learn from it as well. So it's kind of educational as well, not only music.
Well, it is. I mean, it's different seeing it on television or hearing about it, but to actually go, you know, to the Space Kennedy Center, actually, see parts of the rocket, etc., and the landing craft, etc. I mean, it brings it home a lot more visually, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can just feel the excitement that must have been there. I mean, we did a very cool tour. We also went to the Air Force part where you can visit the old the Mercury and the Gemini sites.
Oh,
they're all still intact, actually. Everything is there, all the equipment, and there's they did something very cool. There was this guy that was actually working there during the launches, and he told I think the guy was 19 by now, but he told what the atmosphere was like, and it was great to hear that they actually had no idea when they launched Alan Shepard into space as the first American. They didn't even know if his eyes would pop out when he went up or anything. They had no idea, really. So.
I know it sounds, the health and safety of today wouldn't put up with it. But in those days, I mean, I know the Russians, they were there first. And that must have annoyed the Americans tremendously. But in the end, they got there and they succeeded and progressed through Apollo. I think we kicked off with Apollo 7 and then we had Apollo 8. Why did you choose those particular... I know there were several other missions, etc., but why did you choose 7 and 8 for the start?
Well, 7, obviously, because it was the first manned mission.
Yeah.
And it was the first... real flight of the Saturn V rocket, so it must have been really exciting, I think, and that's what I try to bring across in the track as well, because but what still amazes me is the these guys are sitting on a couple of tons of explosives being launched in the air, and then they talk so calmly, and that's basically what I think is the most amazing part. I mean, these guys were so professionally trained that there was no stress whatsoever, so. And it actually, I find it very calming to listen to these talks from the astronauts to the ground control and back.
Yes.
That's something relaxing. I don't know.
I think they just had to have a relaxing voice. I mean, obviously you watched the movie The Right Stuff, haven't you? The same as I have.
I've seen it. Yeah.
And
cool.
And I mean, I know there was a lot of. problems in both interpretation, etc. But in the end, that was a good film. I think it was a very good interpretation of the early Gemini missions, etc. But it builded the foundations for Apollo. Sadly, there were some astronauts unfortunately killed in the first Apollo 1, but unfortunately, through varying things happened, but it progressed on and so on. Now, I've noticed you did use the NASA commentary. Did you have to get special permission to use those commentaries throughout
the album? No, not really. I looked into that, and turns out that because it was all government funded, all this material is actually public domain.
Oh, cool.
So you can use it as long as you do credit NASA.
Yes, yeah.
The only thing, and I did that, of course, neatly in the booklet and everywhere that I can.
Yes.
But the only thing they are very protective about is the NASA logo. You can't use that without permission. So
Right.
I actually did try to get that because on oceanography I had the World Wildlife Fund
officially
endorsing it. So I tried to get NASA to endorse this project. And I talked to a lot of people, but I just didn't get any answer back in time. So unfortunately,
it'd be the American version of red tape, wouldn't it, and etc.
Not important to them, I guess. But
But in the end, I mean, you were enhancing and making their mission. Bringing it out as an album and dedicated to it. So, I mean, but either way, that's politics, etc., isn't it?
Maybe they're just very busy because in the time I was there, it was during the last shuttle landing.
Yes.
And there was also, a large budget cut. And actually, the day after the landing, I think they fired like 5,000 people or something.
Oh.
So I can imagine they had other things to do than look into this.
I would imagine, but in the end, but so be it. I mean, you actually saw the landing yourself, the landing of the fire.
Yes, it was very cool to be there. But it was also sad because, nobody knows what's going on next.
No.
I think I watched all the space shuttle launches actually live because it's still
awesome, isn't it? You know, and I would actually love to have seen either Apollo or Gemini, whatever it was, or indeed a shuttle take off, you know, would have been an amazing sight to witness.
We missed the shuttle launch by 2 hours.
Oh, you didn't? Oh.
We were just in the air when it went off. So.
Oh, you didn't see it flash past you? As you
No. probably crossed our plane somewhere, but
shoom, gone.
We didn't see it.
Yeah, what a pity. Now, what's playing in the background? They've got Apollo 9 playing in the background, so I'm just going to push up Apollo 9, and we'll have a little chat about it in a minute. Okay, then,
okay.
Michelle?
Okay.
Here we
go.
LAM adapter attached to the S4B.
Chunky and fast track. What was behind your mind with Apollo 9, Michelle?
I think it was quite an exciting ride as well.
Yeah.
They took the moon lander up for the first time and tried to dock with it. So it must have been a real exciting trip because if they didn't succeed with that, they the whole thing was just not going to happen. So.
I mean, it's good how you put the liner notes inside against each of the tracks so people can see exactly, or at least a brief outline of what happened on each particular track and why you've chosen, etc.
With all my albums, I try to tell a story and try to take people on this journey. So I think it's good when people can at least read a bit about what the track's about and what my idea was with the music. So I try to put time in that. So, it's also on my website, by the way, if people don't have the CD yet. But,
yes. Well, by all means, go ahead and you can remind people about where they can go to obtain copies, etc. What's your website?
That's www.synth.nl, and it's synth.nl.
That's the way they can log out and find out a little bit more about you and indeed about this brand new, it is a brand new project, Apollo, although it's probably how long in the making? About a year, is it, since you first?
No, it took me a little bit longer, I worked on it for a little, like 2 years, but I did the album with Ron in between, so not completely fair, so maybe 1.5 years, I guess, something like that.
Well, it takes time, and in the end, you have to put it all together. Did you put it all together yourself, or did you in collaboration with somebody else, or what?
Yeah. My good friend Hans Landmann helped me. He's kind of a co-producer for my music at the moment. He he also did the mastering, so he's my support this project.
Well, you have to have a good support, you know, within the projects and within the music business, and you need a good producer and a good this and a good that.
The most important thing I need, and that's where Hans comes in very well, is somebody that's critical. The problem is I let my music, I give my music when it's not finished yet to some people around me. Yeah. Yeah. Usually they just say, "Oh, it's great, it's nice," it's nice of them to say that, but I'd rather have somebody that tells me what's not good about it. And Hans is, a guy, he's just honest and just plays something, tells me it's out of tune or I got it completely wrong somewhere.
You've got to start all over again. But he wouldn't.
Well, we had some tracks where we just threw stuff away and did it again, but it's nice to have somebody being honest about that, you know.
Well, I suppose really people don't want to offend you, you know, those, you know, what do I say? Do I say it's horrible or do I say it's out of tone or tune, etc.? Yeah.
We have a saying in Holland, I don't know if it translates into English, but they say that a nice doctor makes stinking wounds.
I'm not going to argue with that.
But it's very great to have help, and also, you know, in the last stages of producing an album like this, I heard the songs like 500-600 times, and you just don't hear some things anymore. I mean, you need a fresh pair of ears, and that's I think that's a good thing. Somebody fresh and not, well, hearing what he thinks he should hear.
Well, I mean, he were given an objective view, you know, or an opinion, and obviously you value that, and, you know, that's what you do sometimes, need constructive criticism or constructive praise, isn't it?
Yeah. But sometimes we do have arguments as well.
I'm sure you do.
I just say that he's wrong and I'm right, so...
what it is, you listen to what he says, and then they do it your way or your way anyway.
Sometimes I take the Captain Picard statement, you know, duly noted in the logbook.
Nice one, yeah. Well, that's great, that is. Okay, now we've got, I think, Apollo 11 is playing in the background now, and obviously this one means the most to you, but how did you put that particular track together?
Well, actually, that was one of the older tracks that I made when I started with this whole idea, and Apollo 11 was on my website for a short period when the 40th anniversary was of the Apollo missions, of the landing. And I think you can hear a little bit that it has some remnants to my first album, Aerodynamics. Actually, I think.
Of course.
So it's an older track, but. I tried especially to put the whole landing in there in the break of the track.
Well, it works. I've always liked to hear NASA commentaries within a track, and I think that they're blended together absolutely spot on. So,
thanks.
No, only constructive comments from the Hawk.
I try to put in as less as possible. You obviously need to tell the story as well. And for that, I just needed the text. But they're not in all the tracks anyway for people that don't know the album yet. I think it tells the story on its own. Had these images in my mind of certain points of the mission and tried to put the music around that. So, and usually I started out with these samples and try to take them away where I could. But in some tracks, like Apollo 7, the first track you played, it's basically the whole track is around the conversation, actually.
It is. Well, that's what makes it so interesting. Obviously we both enjoy hearing that commentary because it points the music and to the listener in a certain direction, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that's the way.
But still when I hear these tracks back, I always have an image in my mind when I make music, and I'm right in the in the capsule at the moment that I hear it again. So
I can see you probably better in a Gemini capsule. I can see you in the Gemini capsule, Michelle. That's how I see you, you know.
Well, why there?
I don't know. I just that it always the Apollo missions always seem to be obviously two or three people.
Whatever three, it is. Yeah, Apollo three.
Going back with the Gemini, it's usually just one poor guy on his own in there, and that's how I see you, more in the Gemini capsule.
Yeah, I'm not a very good team player now, if that's what you mean.
What? Well, no, not in that sense, but...
I'm kind of a one-man team, they call that, right?
Well, there you are, in the Gemini capsule. Anyway, so obviously Apollo missions had a big impact on your life, and how many times did you watch the moon landings?
I wouldn't dare to count that, actually.
Over and over.
I've seen. Yeah, I was just thinking. Even the movie Apollo 13. I think I watched it over like 15 times or something. You know? And I think I saw the all the documentaries that I have a lot more even than that. So must have been at least 30-40 times, I guess, somewhere in some documentary. Yeah.
Well, the next track I've chosen is Re-Entry, which is always a very important part of having done all the hard work. They've got to go through this rather dangerous part of Re-Entry. So
just hope and pray that they survive.
It is really. It sounds, you know, how easy it is to some degree take off.
Yeah.
And go through the atmosphere, but to come back, you got to go through this dreadful re-entry with heat.
The funny thing is, I just said that my oldest daughter did a lecture about it, and I explained to her all the procedures and the whole flight, and the re-entry made the most impression on her, because I explained to her that when they went in too steep, that they would burn up, and when they went in too shallow, they would bounce off and had no chance of coming back. And the entry window is so small, I mean, the chance that it succeeds is actually, so slim. That made a big impression on her. So. And every time she did her lecture, she did like 10 times for us to practice. And she forgot a lot of parts, but this part she never forgot, because it's so printed in her mind, basically, yeah.
Well, it's good that it is an important part of the mission. You know, I mean, without that, you know, you need a successful re-entry. And, of course, you need a successful splashdown as well, don't you? Which will be the last track that we will hear. So, obviously, splashdown, little story behind that.
Yeah, I think that after this very tense moment of re-entry, and then finally these parachutes opening and everything coming, everything slowing down and coming to an end. I think I thought it was very appropriate to end the album as well like that. I mean, it's the album is quite exciting, I think, in certain parts. There's some rest moments, but it's, kind of exciting. And then the last track is just, cooling you down, just splashing you down in the ocean, and then it's coming to an end. So I thought it was appropriate.
Well, I think so. I mean, how much better to have a splashdown rather than the Russians, who have a ground down, don't they? You know. You'd have thought. I mean, how? I mean, I know that when you hit the water, you know, it's not like just having to jump in the water. It hits it with a tremendous force.
I think it's still quite an impact.
It is. I'm sure it is. But goodness knows what it is when you're hitting the ground at so many miles per hour or whatever it is, but
the only problem with this splashdown in the ocean was that they could still sink, of course.
would
have been inconvenient as well, I guess.
I still want it glugging down there, and but bless them, but every mission with the splashdown, I suppose that's very dangerous as well, because you say it could sink, or the sort of balloon things that come out to keep it and support it, they could fail. But
I think there was one mission. I'm not sure which one. One of the earlier ones where the hatch blew too early, actually. So
yes,
and
that's
the capsule
right.
was already filling up with water. So
Yes, I think there was some debate as to whether the hatch was blown through panic or whether it blew through a malfunction. But I know that the astronaut did receive a little bit of bad publicity, put it that way.
Well,
but,
I can imagine. I would have panicked, I guess.
I would as well. Now, moving on, do you think there will ever be a Mars mission? What do you think?
The plans are there, but I don't know if there will be budget. Not on the, on the short term, I guess.
No, I don't think so.
I'm afraid that and it's a very long, dangerous trip. So
it is, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that I will live the day to see that, but they probably will in the future, further away.
They could put you into cryogenic sleep, like I suggested to Paul Hale was earlier.
Yeah, but I would
on,
rather see them go to the moon before that first.
I think that's due a visit. But the trouble is, all they thought they would find on the moon, they never found, did they? You know, all this, they wanted to find this, and they wanted to find the answer to the universe.
They just recently launched two satellites again around the moon to study some stuff. But the only reason I would like them to go back there is just to prove that they were actually there before. Because there's still a lot of people not believing that they actually went there. So
the conspiracy theories.
Yes, I got a lot of emails already from people telling me that never happened and stuff.
So, yeah, Capricorn 1 all over again, etc. do you know what's your problem? Well, look, I'm going to push up just the last little bit of re-entry, and then we'll just go into splashdown, and then, we've got a splashdown, but I'll just push this up for a couple of minutes. Here we go. Don't go on the show. Splashdown. Any live performances planned at all, Michelle?
No, not really yet, Terry. I never did any live performances, and I don't have any plans yet.
Well, I'm sure Ron Boots could drag you out.
let's say the chances that I'm going to perform alone are not so big, but the chances that I'm going on stage with Ron and maybe Eric van der Heide and Heil van der Heide, We have been discussing that a couple of times already, but
good. Well, that's good to think that you guys can get together and
I played with them a couple of times in the studio with Ron and Eric, and I obviously did an album with Ron, and
of course,
and there's actually going to be another one, I think. So, I can play nice with these guys, but I'm still very scared to go on stage. I'm looking for. I'm even nervous. For these kinds of things, it's just the idea that everybody's looking at me doesn't make me very comfortable.
Well, what you do is you put plenty of special effects in a backdrop, and people are looking at that. You see, I know what you mean.
It's not really. I'm quite shy. I'm more like the background guy.
You're more audio than visual, aren't you?
Not really. Yeah, well, myself, yes.
Yes.
But
yes.
I'm also working on visuals at the moment.
Oh, you are? Oh, wow.
Yeah. My website is also a movie I made for the Apollo album. I'm working on a lot of 3D animation stuff at the moment.
Oh, wow.
I love doing the combination of music and video, so I'm actually working more on video production as well at the moment. So.
And that can be found at, was it www.synth.nl?
Yes, of course, yes.
Right, okay, well, thanks for your time, Michelle. I'm sorry that time suddenly goes, but
yeah.
20, 25 minutes or so is there, and but thank you for staying up an extra hour, because obviously you're an hour ahead of what's left of British Summer Time.
Well, about a couple 15 of minutes, minutes, I get that hour back.
Yeah, so you don't, same with me. Another extra hour, but thank you for your time, Michelle.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show, Terry, and also thanks for to everyone listening, and I'm sorry for talking so much. if you want to hear some music, just go to the website, and there's some Apollo clips on there as well. So.
Okay, well, what I want to do is listen to my show first, then it can go on to your website.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Well,
I can
teasing.
Do that tomorrow.
Okay, Michelle, thank you for your time. Stay online, because I will have a quick word with you off air, but thank you very much, Michelle,
thank
and
you.
Synth on NLN Apollo. Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Here we go.